good to have you all here today. And for our visitors that are with us, we're glad that you're here. And we just pray that as our time together here, not so much pleases us, but pleases the Lord is what we need to do. And it was mentioned, Revival Week is coming up. There's a sign-up sheet out front for greeters and different things, and we still need a few meals. If you can help out with those, we'd appreciate it. And we are so looking forward to Trey being with us and with carrying dinner next week. Plan for that, just in case there's those that may not bring anything, that we can have them covered as well and have a good time of fellowship. And so I always try to bring a sermon the week prior to our revival that we have in the congregation here about revival, trying to get us going on that. We've been praying about that. We've had cards and things out there you could send to Trey and encourage him. And not only that, but encourage those in the community to be here, encourage friends, neighbors, co-workers. But first of all, you have to make sure you're here yourself to share in those things. And those are good things. And I want to just share, as we think of this term revival, and as I've listed this message as revival in the church, only the church can have a revival. The others need to come to Christ for the first time. Whether you want to call that an awakening or whatever it may be, the church is the only one that can have a revival. And it's unfortunate when the church needs to have a revival, but it's also good that we understand that it's good to have that shot in the arm. I like to call these type of messages our pep rally messages, if you will, of encouragement, getting us ready, that plan on attending, being involved with that next week. Congregations need a revival to do because of or due to spiritual lethargy within the church today. Our increasing societal problems, a decline in young people's engagement with the church, and a need for greater effectiveness in spreading the gospel, a revival can provide a fresh spiritual dynamic that can reignite passion for God. It can foster a bolder time of evangelism in our lives and address the negative culture trends that hinder human flourishing. And we are, in the church, impacted by all of those things. Maybe not individually every one of them, but as the body of Christ, those are things that wear on us all and can bring us down. And so we want to look at what the Bible says that are some reasons for a revival, that we need to have revival. And I believe that true revival only takes place when true repentance is offered. And so when we read that in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4 and 5, it says, "But I have this against you." And this is the Lord talking to the church here. He says, "But I have this against you, that you have left your first love." What he's saying is, you need a revival. "Therefore, remember where you have fallen and repent. A change of mind that produces a change of action." It's not saying I'm sorry and going on your merry way. It's a change of mind that produces a change of action. It's a 180 degree turn. "Remember from where you have fallen and do the deeds you did at first. Or else I am coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. Right? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. We sang this in chapel the other day, I believe it was. And it's letting our light shine. Are we going to hide it under a bushel? Are we going to hide it under a bushel? There we go. Are we going to let Satan blow it out? No, we're not going to let those things happen. We need to make sure that we keep that lampstand, the light, the Word of God, burning in our lives. And he says there, unless you repent. So it's not just enough to start those things, which is good. That's part of that change of action. But you have to make up your mind that you're not going to conduct yourselves in the way that we have conducted ourselves in the past. That there is a change. A change of mind that produces that change of action. That's what a revival is. And I believe that in our nation and in our country, especially at this time within the last month, and we know everything that's taken place there, I keep hearing the words of revival. I do think that the nation is ripe. I think it's been that for some time. I think there's going to continue to be things that happen that will spur us on. But what we need to make sure that we do as the body of Christ and as a body of believers here is not let Satan blow that out. And I fear that he has. Because, and I'll just give you this simple, and I know there's probably those that have more insight on this. But this is what I've concluded here over the past month. That before the assassination of Charlie Kirk, do you realize that on those college campuses in which he would go, that the days and weeks to follow, and I'm saying this, and I want you to pay attention to what I'm saying, the uneducated, I'm not saying that they are not trained in the Bible, but what I'm saying is those that have not been educated beyond their intelligence, we understand, would those that have been trained in the Bible were going about in those college campuses bringing people to Christ by immersing them into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin. This was a noted thing that was taking place after he would attend these college campuses. Since that has happened and people start to ask more questions, guess who's gotten involved? And I, as you know, I listen to a lot of spiritual religious radio. And a lot of these big name preachers that you all know and have heard of, or maybe you haven't heard of, now are showing up on college campuses. And we would think that would be a good thing, amen? We think. But they have went from the students on the college campuses baptizing people into Jesus Christ to now all these radio and TV evangelists are going in and giving all of these people altar calls. So who's really capitalizing on a tragedy that took place? Satan is. Satan is. Because now all of these people are getting a false sense of security. A false sense of doing what is right. Because now the professionals have come in and told them what they need to do. And everyone, and now instead of seeing them down in the pools at the local or at those colleges having baptisms, they're all just dropping to their knees on the parking lot and having prayer and asking Jesus into their heart, which is nowhere found in Scripture. And so what I'm saying is be very careful. because Satan is going to raise his head. Remember, he's the one that rules this world. The Lord has turned it over to him. The prince of this earth is Satan. And so just be careful. And that's why we need a revival, to make sure that we share the correct and the full gospel with Jesus Christ, about Jesus Christ, for Jesus Christ. One of the things that we are affected by is spiritual apathy. Spiritual apathy. And that's why we need a revival. Many believers and churches have become complacent, losing their initial love for God and prioritizing worldly interests over matters, over spiritual matters. As we've said before, and we talk personally, we talk one-on-one, we talk collectively, your life is made up of a series of choices. Good choices bring about good results. Bad choices bring about rough and bad results. And it is up to us. It is up to us, the church. And we fall out of that many times. And there's no one here that is perfect, including the gentleman on the stage that's bringing this message, that we struggle with decisions from time to time. And we like to say that we are strong and we stand firm, but there are times we let the world win out, because we might decide to go somewhere else instead of being at Bible study. We might decide to be engaged in another event instead of fellowship time that we could have with Christians. Whatever it may be, a revival is needed to ignite faith and bring believers back to a passionate relationship with God. But not only do we need it because of spiritual apathy within the church, it's also because of, as we talked last week, the Christian and the culture, that there is also the societal decline. Because back 70 years ago, 80 years ago, when we look at the return from those from World War II, and we see the things that were taking place there, we have had distractions. The community, the culture is not as Christian based as it once was. And so the things around us have changed. And as we looked last week, if we want for those things around us to change for the better, then we have to be the change. We can't sit back and complain. We need to be the change. But our current culture, even in the church, is marked by political division, increased drug use, confused sexual ethics, spiritual disorientation. Due to a lack of embarrassment, the church is in deep need of a revival of repentance. Why is that? Because the fact of the matter is, the church, the people, the individual Christian, are involved in a lot of things that are not so godly, that are not so Christ-like. And we need to change. The Lord says we must remember our wrongs and then reject them. Ezekiel 36:31 says, "Then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good." And you'll feel bad about it. You will loathe them. That's not just that you're sorry about it. It's that you loathe them, that it disgusts you, that you're embarrassed that I even did those things. Not before I was a Christian. We get that. The world is to live like the world. But church, the Christians, we are to live different. That we will loathe ourselves in our own sight for our iniquities and for our abominations. Only true repentance can bring us back. A spiritual revival is seen as a necessary force to counter these trends and bring biblical morality and truth to the public sphere once again. But why do some of these things happen? Why is there spiritual apathy? Why is there a societal decline? It's because there's a declining church involvement and engagement in the world. The church is not to go out, bring the lost in, convert them to Jesus Christ, and then live in a monastic society. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. We need to go out and change the culture for the good, for Christ, for God. There's a significant drop in young people's participation in active church life. And that's why I was so excited yesterday with the Prez. We had several of our young men that were there. And that doesn't mean, yeah, you're going to go be a preacher, but it doesn't mean you're not. Right? And so, but they're there. And because there's a lot of other things they could have been doing on a Saturday morning. Right? I mean, is Foghorn Leghorn still on Saturday morning? I don't even know. Right? But what I'm saying is there's a lot of things they could have been involved in, and they were there with their notepads and their Bibles open, taking notes, learning how we could make an impact for Jesus Christ. And so there's a significant drop that takes place, or has taken place, in young people's participation in active church life in the church. In the church. Now, I will say this. Come across a stat Friday that of the millennial generation, what's the other one? Gen Z? Is that the other one? Do you know who the biggest group is now attending newly to engage in church? Young married men with families. Because I believe there's something, as I said, there's this ripeness that is ready. That is getting ready to burst open. And only Satan's going to try to squelch it. But people are realizing that in society that boys need to grow up to be men. That those men need to be leaders in their homes. That those leaders in their homes need to bring their wives and their children to church. Not just drop them off or make sure that they get there. But they want to be the leaders. It's the first time in our nation's history where single men of all ages outnumber the single women in the church today. And when I use that word church, that's a pretty broad encompassing. But what I'm saying is, men are realizing whatever the world has been offering us has not been working. And that we need something different. And if I want a good life, this is where I need to go to find that. Now, I'm not trying to preach a health and wealth gospel. You know, all of a sudden, all your problems aren't going to be taken care of. You'll have problems you never thought of once you become a Christian. But the difference is, the Lord is with you, and the church is with you to get through all those things. Big difference. Big, big difference. Jeremiah 2:2-5 says, "Go and proclaim in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, I remember considering your devotion of your youth, the love of your betrothals, your following after me in the wilderness through a land not sown. Israel was holy to the Lord, the first of his harvest. all who ate of it became guilty. Evil came upon them, declares the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, what injustice did your fathers find in me? In other words, what did God do to mess up your life? The answer is nothing. He's the only one that can straighten it out. And they that went far from me and walked after emptiness, they became empty. Jesus Christ is the one that satisfies our spiritual hunger and our spiritual thirst. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. See, if you're trying to put your anything in your life besides Jesus Christ, it's going to leave you empty. So we ask the facetious question there, so what did God do to mess up your life? Absolutely nothing. That's why as a Christian, I am so thankful of the grace of God that I don't get what I deserve. Because you know what we all deserve? I think Rick shared that in our communion meditation. We all deserve separation. That while we were, in his translation he read this morning, while we were all weak, some others will say, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Amen? And that is what makes the change in our life. We also, as we think of that, revival is necessary to turn this around by creating a renewed sense of purpose. We have already been given a sense of purpose through God's Word, but we have to be reminded of that, and we renew ourselves to that. When Jeremiah had asked, so what happened, what did God do that left your life empty? Nothing. But by you walking away has caused emptiness in your life. We need to renew our sense of purpose and desire to engage with the church and its mission. And what is the mission of the church? Ultimately, same as Jesus Christ, to seek and to save that which is lost. Yes, there's other things that we do along the way and help out and do things. But we are to be the hands and feet of Jesus and fulfill His mission. Also, there's a need for effective evangelism and discipleship. A revival infuses churches with new energy. You want to get energized? Trey will help us do that. Next week when we have our revival. But he can't keep it going for you. You have to do that yourself. Effective evangelism and discipleship gives us vision and creativity, making them more effective in reaching lost people and fulfilling the mission of making disciples. Again, back to the book of Revelation, to the seven churches of Asia, in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 3. It says, so remember from what you have received and heard and keep it. And again, we see this in another church that Jesus was writing to that said, repent. Starting to see a theme among the Lord's church. Repent. Therefore, if you do not wake up, wake up, church! Right? Time to get up. If you do not wake up, I will come like a thief and you will not know at what hour I will come. We need to be ready. And we live in a world that needs to be ready. That we need to help get ready. Another reason we need to have revival is so that we have a deeper hunger, and we'd mentioned this a little bit, a deeper hunger for God. Many people are expressing a longing for more of God's presence in their lives. And even in this world, in this culture, we see those that will truly open up realize that God's Word is just better a better way of life. We had already quoted this verse earlier, but Matthew 5:6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Revival is seen as God activating the spiritual hunger in life-transforming ways. Revival comes with a deep desire within oneself, putting self-ambition and material things behind us and pursuing godliness and Christ-likeness and living like Christ as a daily goal. Jesus says, you cannot follow me unless you pick up your cross daily and follow me. It becomes a hunger that can only be satisfied by living out the life of Christ in our daily routine. Therefore, we don't go to church. We live like the church. Big difference. Big difference. We are the church. So how revival can help, right? We know we need one. We've established that the congregation here needs one. We've established that we need to do better at taking that message to a lost and dying world so that they can be revived. So how can this help? Psalms 42:1-2 says, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul pants after you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? In other words, this life here is so draining. This life here is so toxic at times. That this life here is so depleting. That as that deer, and this is how I imagine it, as that deer that had been on the run from a hunter or from some animal that had been seeking it out, whatever it may be, this on its run, on a run for its life, finally finds the place where it is safe. And it's longing for that water to give it sustenance one more time. That's the way that we ought to be. That we've run in this crazy world so much. That we seek out what the Lord offers to satisfy us. That as the deer, it's not says as the deer's looking for a sip. It says as the deer pants. This life can be harsh. This life can be rough. Matter of fact, we're told as a Christian, you will suffer. Not that you might. Not that it can happen. But it says, as a Christian, you will suffer, and we should strive and pant for Him. That knowing we can only be revived by the living water that He offers. I guarantee you, if you set in your mind, you set in your heart to be here next Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, it'll recharge you, us as believers. That's what revival can do. It'll recharge us as believers. Revival allows God to intervene in a special way. But as we've talked before, that soil has to be prepared to receive the Word of God. We are the soil. The Word of God is the seed that is being sown. Will we let it grow within us? Recharging believers and empowering them to live out the Christian calling with greater boldness. There's that word we saw at the communion time. Greater boldness. I'm not saying that you don't live it out with good boldness. or great boldness, but greater boldness that we need to, as our Lord and Savior set the example of the greatest boldness for us. And here's one that, you know, we can, people think of all sorts of different ways, some pretty cool things to do that go beyond our mind. But allow for revival to spark innovation and creativity in your thinking. And whatever that may be. You know, we've got the internet. Sometimes we complain about it. But you know what? We've got opportunity to do just as much good with that internet as the world does of doing bad. Use that. I'm not sure and exactly how the Facebook sharing thing works. But take a quick shot of the revival flyer or announcement in your, and send that out to everybody on your likes or love list or whatever this week. Whatever that, I don't know. What I'm saying is, there's some pretty innovative people, even within this very building, that can do some pretty amazing things. What I'm saying is, use it for Jesus. It provides the church and the Christian with fresh vision, encouraging innovation. As we said, if we want the culture to change, we get tired of seeing all the dumpy, stinky stuff, then put good stuff out there. Encouraging innovation and creativity to bridge the gap between the church and the surrounding culture. I'm just letting you know, and this is a concern I have, that, you know, when I started preaching some years ago, I was 27 years old, younger than most. I'm not that anymore. And so now as I look around, I'm older than most. I'm not saying I'm, you know, washed up. But what I'm saying is, these kids have different words they use than what I understand. But that's all right. I use different words than Tommy understood. And I guarantee you Tommy used different words than we understood. But what I'm saying is, we've got to do what it takes to share this message, which speaks the same language, no matter if you're 8 or 88. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Use God as our vision. And do something. Do something for Him. And lastly, I want to share that the revival can help us by encouraging us to move in faith. To move in faith. Right? A revived church is more willing to take necessary risks, to be more powerful in evangelism, and to make a greater impact for Jesus. The church will be moved forward in faith. And this, including this guy on the stage, is something I think that we all can do better in. Because how many of us are prompted to do whatever we do for the church because we can somewhat envision how it's going to go? Right? We got a plan for something, but we see how it's going to go. And so then we step out. That, my friends, is not faith. Faith is being bold enough to step out and to do something that you have no idea how it's going to go. And it doesn't matter if you fail or you are successful because the Lord's got it. If you fail, then that means there's probably something you as an individual can learn from that. If it's successful, then it brings God the glory. And isn't that what we were shooting for anyway? And so as we look at it, step out in faith. Now I know we've got revival. That's the spiritual aspect of this month of October. But it's not by coincidence, people, that we do our special giving, our physical challenge, our physical faith, the same month we do our spiritual upliftment. We have a revival for us spiritually. We challenge you then physically. You want to see the success of the revival? Then do something you don't see how it's going to end. Do something that if the Lord was not involved in it, it would fail. That's when you know it's special. Because if you plan it out that you can do it, then that's not faith. And so in our special physical giving month, we say, well, I've allotted for this much to give to the church for the building fund. Or do we give more than that, knowing that the Lord will take care of it? That is faith. That is faith. I didn't expect as many amens on that one. And I didn't get them. But it's not for me. Your faith is about your relationship with Jesus Christ. And revival in the church is what we all need. The church must move forward in faith. We will not fear failure or fatigue, but we should press on with humility and courage for the honor and the upliftment of our Lord. That's why the church needs revival. That's why we need revival. That's why the surrounding area needs Harlan, Fort Wayne, Allen County, Indiana, this nation needs for the Church of Christ at Harlan to have a revival. Every one of those need, and the world needs for us to have a revival. Because when we have true revival, it will not stay within these walls. It'll go out into a lost and dying world. If you're here today and you're outside of Jesus Christ, there's a plan of salvation that's on the screen. It tells us what we need to do. We need to believe in Jesus Christ that He is the Lord. Then we need to confess Jesus Christ as that Lord. That word confess in the Greek means to come alongside, to be in agreement with. It's not just letting other people know, but it's saying to Jesus that whatever you say, I'm your yes man. That's what confession is. Repent of our sin. I can't repent of yours and you can't repent of mine and you wouldn't want to repent of mine. But that's something I need to do and you need to do so that the rest of the world sees that. Confess or to be immersed. We're just dead men walking, and we arise to walk in a newness of life. We sang that in our songs this morning of coming from death to life, from darkness to light, from Satan in this world to Jesus and heaven eternal. It's a matter of life or death, and live faithfully. We're going to struggle. We're going to falter. We're going to fall. We're going to fail. We're going to mess up. We're going to blow it. And this is as Christians, right? Forget our previous life of those that already are Christians. But if you're here and you're outside of Christ and have never begun that walk, no matter what has been done, the Lord is not too small that He will not forgive. His arm is not so short in reaching that He doesn't reach out for us. He's there reaching and wants us to come to Him. Will you? Before it's eternally too late. We set a goal a month ago. Remember, 10 more. Are we praying for it? Are we working for it? Bible studies? Time to meet? Share? Personal engagements? And it's not going to be the end of the world if we don't get it. but it will mean the eternity for those that do. Will you come and be obedient? Turn your life over to Jesus. Let Him lead so that you can help start a revival in the church here today. Will you stand as they lead us in our song of invitation?